Time to bring in Mike Kazi. Good morning there, Mike.
Good morning.
So, we've got horse racing we'll talk about in a few minutes, but Major
League... Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
What's the biggest news story in the world right now?
The biggest news story in it? Well, I'll give it a tie between Afghanistan and the COVID-19.
Well, it's definitely Afghanistan. Yeah. The news, local news stations have been on now for 8 minutes since the turn at 6:30.
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned it yet. I guess it's gone away.
Are they the network or is it the local?
NBC News.
Well, if NBC News, the network, has not put it on in 8 minutes, once again, somebody's asleep at the wheel. But anyway.
There you go.
Yeah.
You said it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And it's being asleep at the wheel is dangerous when you're driving a car or flying a plane. But
you know,
obviously,
if they don't talk about it, it don't happen.
Obviously not if you're a network administrator. All right. Well, you know, baseball is kind of heating up. The Athletics had to win a big game yesterday. Houston won a big game yesterday as they are battling for the first place in that division and also a wild card berth. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, the White Sox are hitting a little low right now. They've gone 5-5 in their last 10. But, you know, when you got a 12-game lead with about 40 games left to go, it happens. So just wait and see if La Russa can turn it on for them again, because they can't stumble into the playoffs like they did last year, or else the same thing's going to happen. They're going to get the boot. So pay attention to that. Tampa Bay's been very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing really well. The Yankees are playing better, amazingly, without their million-dollar lineup. So when the million-dollar babies come back, let's see if they continue to win with them. Houston, again, they hit a little lull, too. So see if they could straighten things out. The Braves are the hottest team in baseball. I knew that was going to happen sooner or later. They've won 9 out of their last 10. They're stretching it out in the National League East. Today is, what, August 20th? Write it down. National League East is over. The Braves win the National League East going away. The Brewers are running away with their division. And the Giants, well, they still have the best record in baseball, and they just keep beating everybody up. So that looks pretty good right there. The Reds won yesterday. They're only a game behind the slumping Padres.
Yeah.
And I have a friend of mine who's a Padre fan. He got all giddy over himself when they made all these pitching signings, and then they signed Jake Arrieta. I said, put down the crack pipe. Jake Arrieta's done. And I told them when they signed Blake Snell and everybody else, and Blake Snell was a one-shot wonder. He had one good year, and that was it. And he's making a living off of that because he's a lefty. All these big pitchers they signed, Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, they're all turning out to be zeros. And the Padres, San Diego, as I call them, Sham Diego, they're not going to make the playoffs. So it's getting interesting because right now ESPN is starting to put the playoff percentages to make the playoffs, which is nothing more than another talking point for other people. I still say the key in this, which has not happened yet, is going to be the Blue Jays, and they're falling further and further behind the second-place Yankees for that last wild card. They're 5.5 behind the Yankees. They just don't have the pitching to win. They score a lot of runs, but they give up a lot of runs, and their hitting's been inconsistent. So like you said, it's starting to take shape. It's starting to get interesting. And right now, you could probably make a pretty good prediction of the 10 teams from both leagues that are going to make the playoffs. And the Mets are not one of them.
Yeah, geez. I just said, in the month of August, I think they're 6-14 or 6-16. Something just absolutely horrible.
And then, can we go to the other side of this?
Sure.
Teams like the Orioles, the Texas Rangers, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they need some desperate help. These teams are absolutely terrible. Arizona won 41 games, Pittsburgh won 42, Texas won 42, and Baltimore's are the leaders at 38 wins. This isn't Major League Baseball.
No, it's interesting you say that because I was watching MLB Network, and gosh, I forget who said it. And he was talking about this. He said, you know, basically at the start of a baseball season, if you're a manager, if you're an executive, you figure 60-60. You're going
right.
120. He said it's those next...
Of the 40.
Those next 42 games that you have to crush it. And it's a simple formula. And he said that this year it appears there's going to be a lot of teams
not winning
60 games.
Mm-hmm. That's the old adage. Everybody wins 60, everybody loses 60. It's the other 40 games that make the difference. And for these teams, they're not going to win. There's no way they're going to win 60 games. The Orioles have to win 22 games, and they've already played 120. They're not going to go over 500 for the last 42 games of the year. It's impossible. And that's just to win 60. That still guarantees you losing over 100 games.
Yeah.
That's pitiful.
Yeah.
There's no way that should be accepted in Major League Baseball. I don't understand it. If you're a team like that, that's so far under 500, you should not be allowed to dump salary. I'm sorry. You shouldn't be able to get rid of your best players just to save money, because you don't need to save money. You need to spend money and get some talent on your team.
I was just going to say that.
Teams are terrible.
I was just going to say that. And these teams that are winning 50 and 60 games a year, they dump salaries, and so they end up making money at the end of the year. It's a money-making proposition for them, and not a chance to try to win a championship proposition. That's the whole thing they were pointing out. It's bad for baseball when you have so many teams that can barely win 60 games. It's bad.
Well, see, you know, in the days of yore, when you know things were real, people just didn't go to the games.
Yeah.
If you show up and there's 1,000 people in there, you're losing a ton of money. And when these guys are making the salaries that they're making, and you have 1,000 people in the stands, you're losing a lot of money. But now with everybody gets the TV money, it doesn't hurt as bad. So I don't know what the solution is, but I mean, how can you support the Baltimore Orioles? How can you support the Chicago Cubs when they got rid of the entire team? They got rid of the entire team. I don't care what they're doing right now, and they've only won 2 out of their last 10 games. How do you support a team like that?
You know, I remember as a kid watching Yankee Stadium when the Yankees were in that horrible stretch.
More pigeons than people.
And there was an average the last week and a half to 3 weeks of the season of 700 people in the old Yankee Stadium. Now, the old Yankee Stadium isn't like the new Yankee Stadium. The old Yankee Stadium held about 67,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Barber got fired as an announcer for pointing it out. He had the cameras scan the crowd. And after he got fired and after that season is when the Yankees were sold. There were ramifications.
Can't tell the truth.
Yeah. He got fired for telling the cameras to show the empty stadium.
It's the same thing that happened this year at the Haskell at Monmouth Park. NBC Channel 4 was doing it, and they kept showing the downstairs where the benches were, and showing that's the only place where the people were. If they scanned up to the seats that were usually full and showed them as empty, or they scanned down the stretch to the picnic area, that was totally empty. You see the truth. So media shows you what they want to show you to build the picture they want to see. That's it. They don't show you the truth anymore. And Red Barber did absolute truth by showing that there's more pigeons in Yankee stadiums than people, and he got in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Media is an evil thing.
And there's if you're talking about a classic baseball announcer, there was Red
Barber. Oh, yeah.
Classic baseball announcer, but anyway.
Firing Red Barber from announcing baseball is like saying Mickey Mouse can't be part of Disney World anymore.
Yeah, no, really, it was amazing.
Ridiculous.
I was a
Absolutely
kid.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I was a kid.
And who was the owner of the Yankees at that time?
CBS.
CBS. And what is CBS? A media outlet.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
They sold it to the Steinbrenner Corporation.
Yep.
There you go.
Right away, the Yankees started winning.
Yeah. It took them about 2 years, but they started winning
right away in baseball terms.
Yeah. All right. Do we have what's going on with Saratoga this weekend? Because
I got screwed yesterday. Our pick got scratched late. He was my single in the pick five. I went to sleep. I woke up, and I had to scramble to pick a horse for my last number in the pick five. No good. With sleep in my eyes, I singled a five, and for another $4, I could have hit the pick four, pick five. But that's the way it goes. So we got scratched yesterday. It was a quagmire up there. I don't know what it's going to be this weekend.
Right through the weekend, we're going to get off and on heavy showers.
So I'm guessing everything's coming off the turf. So for today, we're going to the seventh race, a mile and an eighth on the dirt. Going right to the rail, the one horse, Road to Success. Horse has never been on a wet track. He won on a good turf, but you put a line through that. He's run on the dirt 2 out of 3 times with a second and a win. So we're going to go with him. I mean, it's a pretty light race. I don't see a lot in here. I think Road to Success should have you a successful ticket to cash today, but I don't think you're going to get much more than $5 for that. So Road to Success is our pick today. Tomorrow, 2 races. One is the Grade 2 Lake Placid on the turf. They might be on. They might be off. I don't know. Technical Analysis is the big favorite in this race at 6-5. Interesting, if you go back to his last race in the Lake George, the horse went off 7-1 last time and won by a length. How does this horse become 6-5 tomorrow? I have no idea. Another horse in here that went off at about the actually lower odds than Technical Analysis will be my top pick. We'll get to that in a minute. But another horse I'm looking at in here is going to be the 3 horse, Ego Trip. One race on the turf at Saratoga. This horse is still a maiden for Brendan Walsh. Puts him right in a deep order at a Grade 2. And the horse is only 6-1 morning line. Tells you something about this race. Something screwy here. I'm going to use the 3 Ego Trip in my exacta. And the horse I'm going to use to win is the 4 horse, Runaway Rumor. This horse ran in the Lake George, ran 4th by 2. Didn't get the best of trips that day with Santana. Reunited with Lescano, who was aboard this horse when she broke her maiden back in May at Belmont. The favorite 6-5. This horse is 7-2. They were both 7-1 last race. It doesn't add up here. I'm going to go with the 4 Runaway Rumor to win the Lake Placid tomorrow, and I'm going to go with the 3 Ego Trip to round up my exacta. Again, this is on the turf, so these plays are turf only. The next race is the 10th. It's the Grade 1 Alabama, 1.25 miles on the main track. This one we could look at. Malthot, who was the big horse going into the last race up there, which was the Coaching Club Oaks, reeling off 5 wins and 5 starts, was the 30-cent on a dollar favorite. Got beat by a horse called Maracujo. I don't even know how to say his name, her name. This horse ran a nice race that day to beat Malthot. Malthot was coming off the bench from April 30th, and I was saying, if this horse is going to get beat, this is the time to beat her because she's coming off of a layoff. Tomorrow, expect Malthot to be much, much tighter. So we're going to use Malthot in our exacta. 2 horses I'm looking at maybe to upset tomorrow. One is the 1 Crazy Beautiful. This horse is coming off a 2-weight race winning streak, winning the Grade 2 Summer Oaks at Santa Anita and the Grade 3 Delaware Oaks, which is their big race of the meet at Delaware. Won that race by 6. That race was with Lasix, but the race before that in California wasn't. This horse ran in the Kentucky Oaks where Malthot won, had a ton of excuses that day. At the start, was wide. This horse had a lot of things, and since then, this horse has regrouped and come back pretty well. So I'm going to use Crazy Beautiful in my exacta, and the horse that I'm going to use on top, which I think would appreciate a little wetness in the ground, which probably will be there tomorrow, is going to be the 3 Clairier. This horse was a little short last time. People are going to give up on her because she ran 3rd in that race in the Coaching Club Oaks in the 4-horse race. This horse ran 3rd. This horse is going to get dismissed, but I'd be a little bit hesitant to dismiss this horse tomorrow, especially if it comes up wet. Steve Asmussen trains the horse. He's having a fantastic meet. This horse is by curling out of a Bernardini mare. You got wet on both sides of that. If this comes up wet at the price, Clairier is going to be worth the shot. So we're going to go with Clairier at a price tomorrow to win the Alabama, and we're going to use Crazy Beautiful and the favorite Malthot to make our exacta box. So not the best of weather this weekend up at Saratoga, so you need to pay attention to track conditions and see if it's on or off the turf. Yesterday up there, it was like chocolate milk. There was a very, very wet track.
All right, Mike, have a good weekend. We'll speak to you on Monday.
You got it, guys. Have a good day.
Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.